Welcome to Special Sauce, Sirius Eats podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we talk to some of the leading lights of American culture, food folks and non-food folks alike.
My decision to set up a small dumpling shop, I have to say, totally due to my children's encouragement. They keep telling me, Mom, you make the best dumplings. Why don't you have a shop on your own?
Today, it is my distinct pleasure to welcome the woman I call the Dumpling Whisperer, Helen Yu. Helen makes some of the greatest Chinese-inspired dumplings I've ever had at her Flushing, New York restaurant, Dumpling Galaxy. And now we can all make them at home thanks to her newly published cookbook called The Dumpling Galaxy Cookbook. She wrote the book with former Sirius Eats editor Max Falkowitz. Here to delight and surprise us with her extraordinary life story is the remarkable Helen Yu. Welcome to Special Sauce, Helen.
Delighted to be here.
And can I start by embarrassing you by telling you how much I love your dumplings?
Sure, Ed. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. I have so many things I want to talk to you about. And you do make unbelievably Sirius dumplings. And the book is great. So let's get started. You know, we usually start Special Sauce by asking guests about their family table. So what was your family table like in China?
My family table in China is quite small. I only have an older brother, my mom. My father was in labor camp.
Wow. Your father was in labor camp for
22 years.
By the time you were born, he was in labor camp, right?
Yes. My parents, they are the first generation of college graduates since New China was founded. New China was founded in 1949. After they graduated from Agricultural University, they were assigned to a work to offer suggestions to the government. And my father wrote what our country is headed to. And then that's the evidence of his crime, anti-government. He got to lock it up. Then with the Chinese Revolution in 1966, the whole country put all the intellectuals in labor camp, burned all the books, buried all the intellectuals, and smashed all the schools.
Wow. That's quite a story. And your father was there for 22 years?
22 years.
And he could come home one
week?
He
was allowed to come home 1 week per year.
He was not the only person affected, obviously, by going to the prison camp, but that you were ostracized in school as a result.
Yes. My whole family labeled as a bad family. I was not allowed to play other kids, and I stayed at home, only watched my mom and grandma cooking, and just stayed at home like in a ghetto, and no other friends.
Wow.
So that's how I got interested in cooking, because I watched them cooking, watched them turn all the raw ingredients to a beautiful food on the table. It's fascinating to watch them cooking. They wash vegetables and chop them and then cook them, put on the table as colorful, delicious, with that kind of steam vapor in front of my eyes, and just taste the delicious food. It was fascinating to watch.
You have such sweet memories of learning from your mother.
Yes, my mom told me how to do dumplings. She told me how to do everything, and she always told me I was the best. I can make the best dumplings. She even encouraged me to make dumplings to take to visit my father in labor camp. So when I was 12 years old, I started to visit my father with the dumplings I made in labor camp during the summer.
Wow. And so, what was that journey like?
It was about 20 hours somewhat travel. First, I took a train. Then I took a boat. Then my father picked me up with a bicycle, with a few hours of bicycle riding.
Wow.
To his labor camp.
And he must have been really happy to see your dumplings.
That's his best joy.
When he came home, you were...
I was 18.
You were 18.
Yes.
And what were you doing at that point in China?
I just entered college at that time, graduated from high school and entered college.
And then how did you make your way to the States?
From my childhood memory and my life experience. I didn't want to stay in China any further. I decided to come to the United States, look for freedom, and stay away from those horrible memories that I had.
Mm. How old were you when you came over? And did you come over by yourself?
I came over by myself. I took TOEFL test in China. I got to pass the test, got accepted by United States College. Then zigzag, transferred a few places. Finally, I end up in New York, and I attend CUNY College, Baruch College, as accounting.
And what was life like? You came over by yourself. Did you know anybody here?
Nope.
You didn't know a soul?
I don't have friends. I don't have any relatives. I just started a new life on new land and with new language. Everything's new to me. But I was very confident that I can make a way through.
And you taught yourself English in China, right?
I started English, since I was in China.
And so what was your life like? You started going to classes.
When I got here, I had to self-support. First, I found a job to make some money. And when I got enough tuition to pay, I started part-time study and part-time work. I work on multiple jobs. I work and study about 16, 20 hours per day at first. Took me quite a few years to finish my degree.
You must have been very goal-oriented is the only thing I can think of.
I was a hard worker, and I worked very hard to gain my way.
And everybody else was still in China?
Yes. I'm the only one came here. But my father came here twice to visit me, stayed a few months each time. Now they're both deceased.
And is your brother still living in China?
Yes, my older brother still lives in China, and he came here a few times to visit me, to spend time with me and my family, my kids. And I also, with my whole family, went to visit them in China.
You ended up working in international tax accounting?
After I graduated from college, I got a job as junior accountant at AIG. And then after a little while, I moved to Associated Press as a staff accountant, also as a step up for me in career. Then I moved to Bloomberg LP as their international tax analyst.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty great. And how did you find your way back to dumplings?
I worked as accountant for a couple of years. I realized that's not the type of work I really like. My passion is really about food, about making dumplings. And making dumplings and eating dumplings together with my family and with my kids is such a sweet memory in me. So I wanted to set up a small shop to experimenting whether I can work for myself.
So that was the goal, was to work for yourself and do something you loved.
Yes, do something I'm really good at and really I like to
do. I can attest to the fact that you are really good at it.
Thank you, Ed. So I started to set up a small shop in Flushing with a lot of Chinese community. And
in one of those mini food malls, subterranean, right?
Yes, down the basement in a small stall. It's easier to start with a small place. Also, I looked around in Flushing. I didn't find a lot of good dumpling shops, so I decided to open a dumpling shop there.
So when you opened the stall, were you still working as an accountant?
Yes. When I set the stall up, I hired two people work for me. And I went there after work and during the weekends and the holidays time and supervised all the ingredients and the formula of making dumplings. Then after a little while, decided to quit the job completely, to devote my own business 100%.
And was it tough at first?
It was. I didn't have that kind of security. I didn't have the guaranteed salary, and I didn't know whether I would succeed. I only started to making three types of dumplings in a tiny shop.
And what were those three?
There are pork with chives.
That's the classic.
Yeah, and the pork with cabbage and pork with the celery.
So you started with just those three. The idea that you could grow to make 100 different kinds of dumplings probably wasn't in your purview at the time.
That was not my original plan. My whole journey of making dumplings from three types lead up to more than 100 types now, totally due to my customers' suggestions and their support.
And it also speaks to your curiosity about food, because you moved way beyond sort of the classic dumpling canon. You were creating flavor combinations that people had never seen before in dumplings, right?
Yes. I put dry octopus with chives and some fish meat into dumpling stuffing as something totally unique, and I created.
And you just made it up.
I made it up and I tested it. During my experimenting, it just gained a good feedback, positive feedback about that type. Then I started creating more and more types. Mainly, I listened to my customers' suggestions.
You know, there are dumpling combinations, there are fillings that aren't even so much Chinese-derived, right?
Yeah, because we are in the world with so many choices of fresh vegetables and meat and seafood, and then I can make all the combinations I want.
How did word spread? Just organically? Your reputation quickly grew.
Yes, started from the stall. I always talk to my customers when they are eating my dumplings. I always ask them how they like the dumplings. Do they like anything else that I don't have? And then I promise them when they come back next time, they will get what they like to have.
And then you got this amazing review from Pete Wells, where he says, Helen Yu is a kind of genius for creating miniature worlds of flavor. How did that make you feel?
Make me feel wonderful. And Pete Wells' review brought a lot of positive response to my business. And he was one of the customers from my stall. I still don't know who he is, even if he's standing in front of my face. But he was tasting my dumplings and watch every steps I made.
I mean, it's an amazing story. So then the stall became very popular. And then I assume that at some point you stopped working as an accountant.
Yes. In 2010, I quit a job completely as an accountant. And from there, my business at the stall keep growing. And that small space couldn't handle anymore. So I searched another location with bigger space to set up a sit-down restaurant. It's a dumpling galaxy now.
How is it different in terms of running the stall and running a restaurant?
The theme is the same, customer-oriented and the food quality. But the sit-down restaurant, it's more has another layer that the store doesn't have, which is atmosphere and better customer service.
And how would you describe your approach to dumpling making? What makes your dumpling so good? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah. To have the best dumplings, few things are very important. First, the dough has to be specially made to suitable for different types of cooking method. Mm-hmm. If you use boiled dumplings, you use one type of wrappers. If you use steamed dumplings is another wrappers, and pan fried also. And all the wrappers are handmade, so it's very tasty. The texture is different.
Mm-hmm.
instead of doughy and chewy, very thick.
It's light.
It's very light. It's like paper thin, especially for like pork soup dumplings. You pick it up, it's like a bag of paper bag with all the soup inside. It's like Chinese lantern.
Right.
Also, the stuffing or the ingredients must be super fresh. I purchased all the ingredients early in the morning from the supermarket across the street in Flushing daily. So I get all the fresh ingredients, handmade thin wrappers. If you have these two elements there, your dumpling will never go wrong.
Well, I don't know. I would say that the third special ingredient is the love you lavish on your dumplings. That's the secret ingredient, maybe.
You put your heart to it.
Before we go on, today's sponsor is Audible, a really cool app that offers an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. They are now offering Special Sauce listeners, that's all of you, a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audible.com/SeriousEats and browse the selection. Then download a title, free, and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/SeriousEats. That's audible.com/SeriousEats and get started today. The Dumpling Whisperer, Helen Yu. How do Chinese Americans react to your dumpling flights of fancy?
They love it. They always excited to try the new types as well, although they stay with the traditional types more frequently.
And when you think about the extraordinary arc of your life story, do you ever wonder how you got to where you are? Like, do you? Because it's an extraordinary, extraordinary journey you've been on.
Yes, it was not planned. I didn't know where I would be. And just like my father pointed out, where the country is going to head to. And my journey just started from I was a little girl, watched my mom and grandma cooking without friends, live in a ghetto-like type of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then made a journey to United States, made a journey to visit my father with the dumplings I made. I can see the light from my father's eyes. I will never forget making dumplings with my mom and grandma. Such a sweet memory. So I carry that to my family when I have my own children. Then I continued the journey to set up a dumpling shop and to Dumpling Galaxy. So it's quite a journey to myself.
I think so. I think it's an amazing journey. And it took such strength of character, ridiculous amounts of hard work.
Hard work and I never give up. And exhausting. It's very time-consuming, but just feel rewarding.
You've written a great cookbook. It sounds like you have a wonderful family here of your own with three kids.
I have two sons and one daughter and two older ones. So they're already in college and my youngest one's already in 10th grade.
Do any of them express any interest in making dumplings?
My decision to set up a small dumpling shop, I have to say, totally due to my children's encouragement. They keep telling me, Mom, you make the best dumplings. Why don't you have a shop on your own? Now they all regret it and say, oh, Mom, you just take your way 2 long hours each day. We regret it.
Yeah, it's be careful what you wish for, kids.
That's true. And they all learned to make dumplings, pancakes with me together and chop carrots. And my children, they're doing great cooking. They have very good interest in cooking.
Would you like one of them to join you when they graduate from college, or would you like them to do something else?
I would like to leave this decision to themselves. Whatever they decide to do for their life, I feel okay with it.
And what's the one quality that you think allowed you to overcome what you've been able to overcome? Like, what's the one thing inside you?
That's what my mom told me when I was young, when I was a little girl. She always said to me, "You can do it. You can do it. Never say you can't. Never say you can't." And your dad, your father will come home. Your
wow.
father definitely will come home.
And he came home.
And he really came home. Took so long, but finally he made it.
Wow.
He came home.
And you were able to have him come over here even?
Yes.
Did your dad get to see the stall at least, if not the restaurant?
No, none of them got a chance to see.
They didn't get to see you become the dumpling queen of New York?
No, they didn't get a chance to see, very unfortunate.
That's very sad. You know, your story is such an inspiring American immigrant story. Do you ever think about all this heated rhetoric we hear these days about immigrants and immigration right now and how? And if so, what do you think about it?
That's the beauty of the United States of America. It has a lot of freedom. You can come here. If you work hard, you always can have your American dream come true. But if you got to kick it out or bend even to come to this country, you will not have the opportunity to have your dream come true. And those whole country is going to be ruined as well.
Mm. So what's next? What are you excited about? Like, are you always thinking of new dumpling fillings? Are we going to see dumpling galaxies in many more locations?
I constantly creating new types of dumplings, including this Chinese New Year in January. For Chinese New Year, I created four types of dumplings. Each type of the dumpling took me months to create.
Wow.
I'm very happy with all those new creations. I constantly create new types nonstop. And I didn't plan that way, but in a way I was pushed to ask for by some real estate agency to push to open new locations.
Really?
It looks like I will.
Wow, that's exciting. When you're creating a new dumpling filling, what's that process? Is like, do you start with, here's an ingredient, I wonder what it would taste like if it was combined with dried octopus? Or like, how do you start to create new dumpling fillings?
I created each new types. It would take me a lot of thinking and combining with some Chinese culture or the knowledge I have. For instance, for this Chinese New Year, I created one new dumpling called, I named it as Chinese money dumpling. The shape is the ancient Chinese coin. And then pan fry it. And it comes out, it just like reminds you about ancient Chinese coin.
Wow.
And the stuffing can be any type you like. Can be meat, seafood, or veggie, but the shape is a Chinese coin.
Wow.
And for the Chinese New Year, it means a lot to Chinese people. It means good luck, good fortune, good wealth. And it's a Chinese culture for American people. They can see, at first they may recognize as Subway token. Then when they read the name as Chinese money dumpling, they will say, it's a Chinese coin shape. That's why it's a Chinese money dumpling.
That's great.
Yeah, they'll love it.
So let's talk a little bit about the cookbook. So what was that process like? You wrote it with Max Volkowitz, who used to be an editor at Serious Eats. And was that a different kind of process for you to get used to?
It's a totally new process for me. When Peter Wells' review on New York Times came out, Penguin Random House people came to Dumpling Galaxy quite a few times to taste the food. And then one day I got a call from the editor, Angeline Borix. She offered to do a cookbook with me. I was overjoyed, of course. So when they look for a writer and they found Max Folkswiz, who started as my customer from the store.
Yes, he took me there.
Yes, and so we knew each other for years. So he found the news that Penguin House is looking for a writer for Dumpling Galaxy's cookbook on my Twitter, and he responded. Then we worked together, and he's a wonderful writer.
He is a good writer. He's a good man.
Wonderful.
A fun experience. Did it ever get frustrating because you had to be so precise when it comes to cookbook recipes? Was that something that you had to adjust to?
Oh, no. Max is wonderful. He is my inspiration. It's totally a joy. He's so patient, and he's so good at writing, and he is so insightful. He knows so much about food.
We're not going to tell Max. We can't let him listen to this. We don't want to let him get a big head.
You probably regretted to let him go.
I didn't think I had a choice. He said he had to find out what it would be like to work for someone other than me. It was just time for him to go. I was devastated, Helen.
But glad that you are still stay as a friend.
Oh, we're still very good friends. So now it's time for the special sauce buffet. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions that we ask everyone. You can take some time if nothing comes to mind in terms of answers. But who's at your last supper? So usually we say no family allowed. But in your case, I'm going to let you imagine two last suppers, one with your family and one without.
Well, last supper with Max.
With Max? That's good. Who else? They could be...
He knows so much about food, and we have so much to talk about the food. And he can always appreciate the types of dumpling that I created. He is always the first food, the dumpling... testing person.
So it would be Max and probably your children and your husband?
The cookbook's editor, Angeline Borgs. She's
okay.
Terrific.
All right. And I don't know, I think I know the answer to this, but what would you be eating?
What do you think?
I think you'd be eating 100 different kinds of dumplings.
Yes, I would make a dumpling platter of more than 100 types.
And you would do it with pleasure.
Yes.
And do you have a guilty pleasure? Like, is there some junk food that you, when nobody's looking, that you you eat, hoping that your children don't find out?
Sometimes I do chips.
Chips?
Yeah, chocolates.
Chocolates? What kinds of chips?
Sweet potato chips.
Sweet potato chips. And chocolate? What kind of chocolate?
All kinds of chocolate. Chocolate.
And have you ever considered making a chocolate dumpling?
I have chocolate dumplings.
You have chocolate dumplings?
Yes. For Valentine's Day, a few years, I served the chocolate as a stuff and dumplings.
That's great. You work really hard, but sometimes you must get home and it's late, you're hungry, and you haven't had a chance to shop for a specific meal. What are you going to rustle up in the kitchen?
I have a bagel, a piece of toast. Or some matzah.
And some matzah.
Matzah bread, because my husband's Jewish.
Ah, your husband's Jewish, and some matzah.
Or challah bread.
This is a cross-cultural experience.
It is. He likes my dumplings. I like his challah and bagels.
That's great. Is there anyone, could be living or dead, someone in history that you would like to have a one-on-one lunch with to just pick their brains or just to see how they think?
My father.
Your father. Just because you felt like you were robbed of those precious years with him?
And he's such a special man. I learned so much from him. He's extremely intelligent.
And what kinds of things would you want to find out at the lunch?
I wish I have all his brain.
You wish you have all his brain. Finally, what would happen on Helen Yu Day in America, what would be happening?
They'll come to eat my dumplings.
You would serve millions of people your dumplings?
Sure, Ed.
Thank you so much for sharing your special sauce with us, Helen Yu. Thanks to the Dumpling Galaxy Cookbook, the wonderful book Helen wrote with former serious eater Max Falkowitz, we can all enjoy Helen's dumplings at home. And if you ever find yourself in New York, by all means, make a pilgrimage to the Dumpling Galaxy in Flushing. You will never feel the same way about dumplings again, I promise. We'll see you next time, Serious Eaters. And Helen, thanks for sharing your special sauce with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. Pleasure to be here. See you at a Dumpling Galaxy.